This is Harry Murray at Murray's Fly Shop in Edinburgh, Virginia. Let's look at the calendar for October and see what we can do on the bass, the brook trout, and the stock trout. Okay, I grew up in Edinburgh in the 50s, just 1 mile from the North Fork of the Shenandoah River. Now, at that time, there was an Atlantic service station right here beside my home, and they had a big fish contest each year. These boys were all using bait, probably hog suckers and mad toms were the main two baits. Now, the winner of this contest, using live bait now, the winner of the contest would receive the Shakespeare level line casting reel. And these were beauties, no question about it. I have one and I have used it, and it's a great little reel. There are usually about 20 people in this contest, and it's very, very competitive. We really have great smallmouth fishing, and they've taken advantage of it. Like I say, they were using the hog suckers and the mad toms. Now, when I came back from pharmacy school, I got interested in what I could do in the way of fly tying to duplicate that hog sucker and the mad tom. Well, I came up with patterns that would match these fairly well. And we caught lots and lots of fish on this one we call the Magnum Mad Tom and the Magnum Catfish. But we catch a lot of fish on that Mad Tom and Hog Sucker. Okay, now let's talk a little bit about the trout. Now, the brook trout spawn from October until through the month of December. So if you really are conscientious, I wouldn't fish for them. Now, I know some of the boys want to fish for them. Let me show you how you can go about this and still protect these brook trout. First thing and foremost, definitely mesh down the barb. There's just no question we want to mesh down the barb and all that. In fact, a friend of mine that's a biologist with the Shenandoah National Park has really encouraged that this year, that we mesh down the barb. Now, here's something that I've been doing for a number of years that I find very advantageous. It's what I refer to as the pop strike. Okay, I see a trout rising out there in the pool. I've got a little ant on. I cast it out to him. He comes up and sucks it in. I instantly set the hook. I got him. I'm giving myself an A+ because I know I stuck that hook in his jaw. Now, what I do that some people aren't quite ready for this yet, I drop the rod tip. You with me now? He came up, took my fly. I set the hook. I stuck the hook in his jaw. But instantly, I'm talking about 1 second later, I drop that rod tip, which puts slack on the line and the leader. The majority of the cases, that hook is going to come out of his jaw. So he swims away free. I haven't handled him. I haven't touched him. But I'm still giving myself credit for catching that fish. So that's the pop strike. Now, if the hook did penetrate that guy, use your hemostat to remove that hook from his jaw. Don't get in there with your big fat fingers. Ram it down his throat and try to release it. Use your hemostat, get a hold of the hook. Remember, it's barbless now. And release that, and you haven't hurt him. The net. Everybody's wild on nets now. Now, the thing of it is, if that net has holes in it big enough that brook trout can get his gills stuck in there, you just cause some problems. So make sure if you're using a landing net that the net has holes big enough that's not going to happen. Now, walking in the spawning beds. Now, after that guy, because let's say he comes in there the 15th of this month, and he, mom and dad build a spawning bed. There's a nice spawning bed there the size of your kitchen sink. Nice, clean, shiny gravels. It's no surprise where it is. Now, the thing of it is, they have put that spawning bed down at the area that many times we'll walk right through to work our way up the stream. After that spawning bed has been put down, about 2 weeks later, it's so dusted over that you'd no longer see that bright, shiny spawning bed. What you've got to do is be very careful when you're walking up that stream that you do not step where you know that spawning bed was put down. So walk around them on the side. They're not going to be spawning a great big stones, not even as big as a golf ball. They're going to be in pea-sized gravel, marble-sized gravel, that kind of thing. And it will be a slight depression that you may or may not see. But it's dusted over in a couple weeks, so walk around those areas so you do not step on the spawning bed. Okay, now, we're going to stock for a lot of trout this in October. The Game Commission puts a lot of big fish in these stock streams, and a lot of people have great fun fishing for them. If you really want to try to get into some of the big rainbows they're putting in, I'd go to the heavy riffles and use big nymphs, like the bass stonefly nymph, the bass caddis nymph. These are about size 6 nymphs. Big nymphs, fish them right below those riffles, and this will get you into a lot of those big stocked rainbow trout. One of my favorite is Big Stony Creek. They stock a lot of rainbows out here. And if you go in below those riffles, you're going to catch some of those big fish. Passage Creek is a dandy. Bull Pasture is good. And the Hidden Valley of the Jacksons always been one of my favorites. But these are stock streams, and you're fishing for stock trout. But if you play that game with those nymphs, I think you can have a good time. This is Harry Murray at Murray's Fly Shop in Edinburgh, Virginia. If you have any question on any of this, just ring me back here at the fly shop, and I'll be glad to go over this with you. Oh, by the way, we have already posted our guided school trips for the Shenandoah National Park for next year. So we're already signing people up for those. So if you want to get in any of ours for our wild brookies, just let us know. Thank you very much.